Blog Talk Radio.
Always good to have a smart girl. It's the way to go. All right, my man, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, let's do it.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We have a great show for you today, and as always, if you want to call in or ask questions, you can call in right now at 323-870-3857, and we'll be here till about 9 o'clock tonight, and today, we're going to talk about the finals, Beeb, of the World Boxing Super Series Cruiserweight Division is set. Yeah, I kind of forgot about it, too. Once the two big ones were done, this is kind of like the forgotten one because these guys are all kind of fighting for second place because they're crowned a winner and these guys were already in the tournament.
Yep.
Anyway, we'll talk about it. Josh Taylor signs with Top Rank this week, and this is major news.
Shocker.
Yeah, right?
Shocker.
It really is. This is major, major news. A lot of doors just opened for Josh Taylor. But first, we're going to get started with Clarissa Shields versus Ivana Habazin. Shields wins the unanimous decision over Habazin by the scores of 99-89, 100-90, 100-89. Completely lopsided fight. Habazin took a knee in round six, and that, my friends, was Shields' first knockdown of her career. Is that kind of shocking? That's kind of shocking to me. I guess we all kind of knew it, but yeah, first knockdown of her career. Shields has now won world titles in three different weight divisions. Beeb, let me ask you a question. Is this significant? I mean, they say she's the fastest one to do this. Obviously, it's a big accomplishment. Big accomplishment no matter what. And she can only fight the people because we can say there's, you know, it's the competition and everything. But she, in all fairness, she can only fight who's put in front of her. That's it. That's all she can do. Does this take away from the accomplishment at all?
Well, when you look at other fighters that have done it, you know, like Adrian Broner won four, right?
Well, he's from Cincinnati, of course.
And then you have other fighters that have done it, but they've done it winning vacant titles. So in her defense, at least she's beaten champions. All, like, every one of her titles has been a legitimate title in terms of it's not a vacant title.
I thought some of hers were vacant, though. I thought, like, three of them were vacant.
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Unless I'm mistaken.
Okay.
But I know, to become undisputed, she beat Christina Hammer.
Yeah.
And then at 168, I believe that was a legitimate championship fight as well as this one was. Now, I mean, the problem with women's boxing as a whole is you have each division has the top girl, like Cecilia Brakus, and you got Katie Taylor. Well, actually, Katie Taylor's division, she's got Pasoon in her division, but outside of her, it's Katie Taylor and Pasoon. There's usually like the champion, and everyone else is like levels below.
There's a large gap, right?
There's always been a large gap in boxing. Now, yeah. MMA is a different story. Like, for a little while there, you had that with Ronda Rousey. Not even really didn't have that with Ronda Rousey because she was beating girls easy, but the girls she was beating were really good. I mean, they were giving her some tough fights, you know, a couple good rounds here and there. So MMA, the women in MMA is different. Like, those fights are a lot more competitive. There's a lot more top women fighters in MMA. But in boxing, It's just you get one or two in each division, and that's it. I mean, there's nobody else.
Yeah, that's it.
So, I mean, with all due respect to Habazin, like, I mean, she was just there to survive. She didn't look like she had any confidence in her ability to win that fight whatsoever. And that's because of the skill gap there.
The huge. I mean, it's like you said, there's like I said, the title holder, the champion, and then everybody else.
Yeah, the gigantic skill gap. Gigantic.
Let me ask you what, like, you know, you look at somebody, I mean, and it, you know, when I read this, it shocked me, you know, that Shields, this is the first time she's knocked anybody down. And, you know, you think about it and think about it. She's not a small girl. I mean, she's a, I don't mean that disparagingly. I don't mean it like she's a, you know, but she's a big girl. I mean, she's like a Serena Williams. She's a big girl. She's not petite. You know,
very strong.
Very strong.
She's a strong, like, but some people, like some fighters, are strong physically.
Yes.
Strong. Like, with all due respect, Andre Ward was not really a huge puncher. He's a decent puncher, but he wasn't a huge puncher. But he was very physically strong, particularly on the inside. She's very strong, and she can maul people and maneuver them and block them back. But she's just not a huge puncher. And to be honest with you, she seems like she's a very light puncher. She doesn't seem like a big puncher at all. Like, when you look at, like...
But she should be, right?
Looking at her, you would suspect that, yes.
Clearly, she knows how to throw a punch. Clearly, she throws the punches the right way.
But she's just, for some reason, and the fighters look good. They look like they have snap on them. Yeah. But I don't know what it is. It's, just, it's bizarre to me that she just doesn't have more knockouts than she does. Because when you look at girls like Christy Martin and Sia Riker and Ann Wolfe and Layla Ali, those girls were knockout artists. They could take their...
And Ann Wolfe.
Oh, Ann Wolfe was a murderous puncher. So this is the one time I think we've seen a boxer, in this, you know, a female boxer, that's really just not a big puncher. That's basically winning decisions with skill. And she's really, one thing you have to really, really give her credit for, number one, she came in phenomenal shape, and she was dropping a lot of weight. You know, you can say what you want. She's always a thick, muscular woman in great shape. But she had to drop 6 pounds, and I'm sure a lot of that was muscle. Wasn't all fat or whatever. So, you know, you have a highly conditioned girl at 160, having to go down to 154, like I said, she's going to lose some quality weight, number one. But the thing was that she was able to still put out a very, very high work rate.
Yeah.
Now, granted, the rounds were only 2 minutes. But regardless, she's really overwhelmingly outworking her opponent every time she fights. She's throwing a ton of punches nonstop. Now, even though the rounds are 2 minutes, she's still throwing nonstop punches for 2 minutes straight. There's a lot of fighters that you know, even on the male side, that aren't doing that. So she's not even taking breaks. She's putting up a phenomenal work rate, and it's an amazing work rate. And she just overwhelms her opponents, blankets them with punches. So that's the thing. So for her to have to drop down in weight like that and be able to still come through with that work rate, you know, at the lower weight class, is very, very impressive to me. I have to be honest.
Yeah, a lot of people in the chat are saying she doesn't turn over those punches. She doesn't. She has a kind of that amateur style. Wood says she throws fast, sharp punches, but she doesn't sit down on them to hurt people.
Well, if she decided to sit down and really focus on power, that would alter her style, because then she wouldn't be the volume puncher. She wouldn't be the person that overwhelms her opponent with the work rate. So I believe she doesn't want to sacrifice the work rate for the power, possibly.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question, because you brought up a great point when we talked about and you brought up the rounds, 2 minute rounds versus 3 minute rounds for the men. Does this hinder the growth of a sport in boxing for women?
I believe so. And
I do too.
I think it was mentioned as well. I think Dana White said something about it, meaning that the reason why female fighting in MMA, in the UFC particularly, is doing so well is because we didn't alter it. We made
it.
You know, these women's fights identical to the men's fights.
Yeah.
So we're basically selling these women as being just as good as the men.
Sure.
So when you have 2 minute rounds and you only have 10 round fights instead of 12 round fights, you're saying to you know, to the women that they're not the same as the men. They're not really good enough to do what the men are doing. But I think when she fought Christina Hammer, weren't they 3-minute rounds?
No, 2 minutes.
I think in certain commissions that they do have 3-minute rounds. I believe. I think that was a fight.
This is the thing: is that if it's done one place, it should be done across the board.
Yeah.
How difficult would it be if you're a female boxer to fight in one commission for 2 minutes and another commission for 3 minutes? That makes zero sense.
Because I remember that we talked about that with Christina Hammer, I think. And she was talking about that. I think that fight was three-minute round. I'm going to look that up, but I believe that was that.
Yeah, if anybody in the chat knows that, let me know. Let us know. Post it in there. I wasn't 100% sure.
Yeah.
Where does Shields go from here? There doesn't seem to be a lot there for her, honestly. And I don't know how much money she's making and that kind of thing. I can't imagine it's all that much money.
Yeah.
I mean, she's headlining and stuff, but she's not like, I don't know, exactly selling out arenas. You know what I mean? They couldn't put her in MSG and have her sell it out.
Well, it's crazy because she compares herself to Amanda Nunes.
She can compare all she wants.
But
yeah, she can compare all she wants.
She's headlining Amanda Nunes. She's
headlining pay per views. Yeah, I mean,
she's selling a good amount of pay per views.
Right.
And she's winning in much more emphatic fashion. Not that it should matter. I mean, because a win is a win.
Yeah.
But in terms of, you know, people, you know, wanting to see and buying into the fights or whatever.
Right.
She's much more fan friendly than Clarissa Shields. So obviously that in turn is going to generate into pay per view buys.
Right.
I know that for a fact. So I think it's hard, in my opinion, when I see Shields try to compare herself to Amanda Nunes. I just don't see it.
No. I mean,
Let's compare paychecks.
Let's compare paychecks, you know? I mean, there you go. There's nothing on the horizon for her. I mean, she can talk about Nunes or whatever, but in boxing, there's really, I mean, who else is left? You know? She's got to drop Katie Taylor? I mean, Katie Taylor, they're way apart on the scales. You know what I mean? They're way, way apart. So, I don't know, man. I don't know that there's too much.
She's calling out Cecilia Brekus, and she's asking Brekus to come up to 154.
Well, what? She's at 147. Why would she do that?
I don't think Brekus would do that.
No, why would she? Come down to 147. Make her cut that weight. That's more interesting to me. Make her cut that weight. Come on down here. Make her dehydrate her. Make her drain that weight and come on down. She can lose the weight.
Jimenez called her out after she won the title last night.
Jesus.
On Friday night.
Let's do something we don't ever do. Let's cross over here. All right, so let's talk about the DAZN fight. Franchon Cruz DAZN versus Alejandro Jimenez. 10 rounds for Cruz DAZN's WBC and WBO women's superweight title. Alejandro Jimenez wins via split decision over Franchon Cruz DAZN. By the scores of 97-93 for Cruz and 97-93 and 98-92 for Jimenez. I don't know how they gave DAZN that anybody gave DAZN that fight, 97-93. I don't know what they were watching.
Yeah.
The first thing that caught my attention in this fight was Alejandro Jimenez. Listen, man, I don't mean to be disparaging, Beeb. I don't. And as disparaging as you were before the show on her, I'm not going to be like that.
Don't do it.
I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to say that she. I'm not going to say what you said prior to the show.
I said she's a wonderful woman. Don't project your own.
You said.
Lois.
I'm going
to
quote. Well, I don't care what Lois says. Lois knows the truth. All right. So if she wants to call HR on anybody, she's going to call it on you.
Listen.
You said she looked like a dude. That's what you said. Those are your words, not mine. Why would I say something like that?
Don't project, kid.
I'm just saying.
I can see the smile on your face you project.
No smile. I'm 100% serious.
Guilty as charged. Look at you. You're laughing now.
I'm not. I'm laughing because you're lying, and the lie is projecting onto me now.
No,
I don't like it.
I would never say that about her.
They said, interestingly enough, she weighed over 300 pounds at one point in her life before she started boxing. Now, whatever Beeb, you know, whatever things Beeb wants to say about her, listen, that's quite an accomplishment, man. This fight was very entertaining. I thought it was entertaining. It wasn't, like, very pleasing, if you're a purist, but it was entertaining, man. It was like watching two chicks go at it, you know, or
it was,
a chick and a dude. I don't know.
With all the respect, it was very painful to watch.
Oh, how dare. Why?
The technique is horrible.
Oh, stop it. Stop it, Beeb.
You know what it looked like?
Sexist.
Remember when you were, like, in the cafeteria and, like, you saw two girls in a lunch line and one girl bumped into the other girl and knocked the tray over?
Yeah.
And then they just go at it.
Cat fight? Cat fight?
That was a cat fight.
That's awesome. I love cat fights. You don't like cat fights?
Not in boxing rings, no.
As long as the cat fight takes outside the boxing ring, you're all down
with it. Watch a cat fight at the supermarket with two girls fighting over an apple or that last melon or whatever, or that, you know, the bananas, whatever, picking
up. Yeah.
So, you know, I had my hand on that, those bananas first, and they start going at it. That's fine.
And they just, yeah. They,
or if you're at a, like, a department store, and one girl picks up a shirt, and the other girl, oh, no, that's mine. I saw it first.
Yeah.
I want it. And they go at it. You know, but.
Awesome.
You know, in the boxing ring, no, it's not something I want to see.
Anyway, man, I'll tell you what, the two really went at it, man. They landed some big shots. Jimenez came back with her big shots, and I thought she controlled most of the fight, honestly. I gave the fight to her. The train wreck of the week.
Go ahead. Come with it.
Franchon Cruz Dizern, between, I think it was the 9th and 10th rounds. She was wearing like a weave or a wig or, listen, I don't know all the terminology. I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't wear a wig. You know, I don't know anything. I don't know anything about weaves or wigs. I asked Lois what she was wearing.
I should hope you don't wear a wig.
I don't. Not a piece or anything. Like, this is all natural, baby.
All
natural. Look at this mane.
Looks great.
Beautiful. It's beautiful. The wig came off. I guess it was coming off, and her corner went to take the wig off, and she, like, tried to, like, push it back on, and that guy went nuts, man. Her corner was like, you either take that thing off or, you know, you want this, you want the title or you want the wig, one or the other. And, you know, my question, I've never seen that in a fight before, obviously.
So, remember Malin Aji fighting with those fucking fake dreadlocks? But he had like a weave in his head too. Like what the fuck is this all about?
What is he doing? Why? Listen, man. Again, man.
You're there to fight, not to make a fashion statement.
Why do you come in with a wig on? Don't you think that's gonna get? I mean, did you see her hair was like really high and taken back and everything like that? And I thought, wow, she's got some weird hair. Turns out she's wearing a weave or a wig or whatever it is. I don't understand that. Why would you come in like that, Beeb?
Why do you need to wear a wig to a boxing match?
I don't know. I don't know.
I just don't get it.
I don't get it either. I don't get it either. It was odd.
I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't think I want to understand it, to be honest with you.
So what were your thoughts on Alejandro Jimenez?
What do you mean?
What are your thoughts on her? I mean, what do you?
Well, I mean, I give her.
I heard she was VADA tested. That's what I heard. It was documented. She was VADA tested.
I don't have a problem with her. I think she's fine. I mean, nothing wrong with her, in my opinion.
So, let me ask you a question, Beeb. You're a single guy, you know? You're a single guy.
Well,
you're out on the market. You're out on the market, the Beebster.
I'm kind of dating someone right now, to be honest.
Lois?
Lois is my employee.
Lois is your employee? So what would you do? Like, so you're on all these websites and everything like that. So say you show up to a date, and Alejandra Jimenez is in there waiting for you.
Yep.
She's the date. Yep. Hello, Beeb. Nice to meet you. What are we going to eat? What do? You finish that date?
I finished.
Wow, you're a gentleman, son. You're a gentleman.
I finish what I start, man. I'm not going to walk out on it.
Yeah. I go to the bathroom, and I never come back, son. That's how I do things.
she took the time to show up. We're going to have a good dinner. We'll have a good conversation. Obviously, it's not, we'll probably not go past the conversation, but I could talk to anyone, to be honest with you. I don't have any problems as long as,
You're a good man, B. What if after the dinner she wanted to continue the date? She said, hey, Beeb, you want to go get coffee at my house? What do you do? Because she's got a deep voice, you know what I'm saying? I mean, what would you do?
No, thank you.
Why not?
I think we're moving a little too fast here.
To get some coffee? I don't want to marry you, Beeb. I just want to have coffee with you.
I think it's a little too soon for me to be going over your house.
And Beeb just ended his date like that. You ain't no gentleman, I'll tell you that. No gentleman at all.
Hug goodbye.
Oh, Beeb's all over the coffee. Do you just not tell anybody about it? Or you go get the coffee and just don't tell anybody? Or you just... Asking questions. I don't know.
I don't drink coffee.
All right, babe, I'll leave you alone on that one. All right, anyway, back to the Showtime card. What's the matter with you, babe? Girl has feelings. Jaron Ennis versus Bakhtiar Ayubov. Ennis wins via TKO in round four over Ayubov. Ennis, he started strong, knocking Ayubov down twice in the first round. Ayubov was game. But Ennis was just too much for him, man. In the fourth round, the fight was stopped by the order of Commissioner Larry Hazard. Larry Hazard actually stepped in and said, hey, you guys ain't doing this no more. That's it. So there you go. A lot of people want to see Jaron Ennis again, including myself, up and comer. But, he's got a little bit to go. He's got a little bit to go. We want to – I mean, everybody – I think I want to see him again. You want to see him again. But, he definitely want to, let him marinate there. All right, let's talk about the zone. Jaime Munguia versus Gary Spike O'Sullivan. 12 rounds, the middleweights. Jaime Munguia wins via TKO in the 11th round over Spike O'Sullivan. For the first few rounds, Munguia looked like a different fighter, man. He was moving his head, was boxing very well. He was picking his shots. After about the third round, he was back to the old Munguia, taking unnecessary shots, taking one to give one, not moving his head, not being defensively responsible. I tell you what, that being said, Munguia is a big, strong fighter. And the bottom line is that makes up for a lot. But it'll cost him as he moves up in competition. In the 11th round, O'Sullivan was taking a lot of shots in the corner, threw in the towel. The ref didn't see it, but the fight could have been stopped anyway. It could have been stopped way before the towel came in. I mean, he was getting hit. He was getting hit flush. He was tired, getting hit a little bit too flush for my liking anyway, so they probably could have stopped that. After the fight, this is the interesting part. After the fight, Munguia called out Canelo, Triple G, or the Charlos. Beeb, I don't know about you. I don't think he's ready for any of them. But I would like to see him fight Triple G.
Yeah.
I think that's – if he's not going to beat Canelo. I don't know that he beats any of the Charlos. But Triple G is on the slide. Triple G is still a very good boxer.
I will say that Munguia did look sharp offensively. He had that little catch, I think, like you said, in the third round. I think from the third round, maybe the third and fourth and fifth, he kind of was exchanging a little bit where he didn't have to. But in the sixth, I thought that he started getting back to the boxing. I thought he was setting up the shots well. I thought his jab looked good. I think offensively, he looked very sharp. The body work was good. And O'Sullivan didn't do himself any favors. Every little thing that Munguia would do, he would sit there and turn and stop and complain to the ref. there's no timeouts in the sport of boxing. I mean, it was getting irritating after a while watching him stop and put his hands down, and Munguia just punched him while he was talking to the referee. Again, what did he, you know, wait till the round's over, and then if you have some issues, tell him then. Don't try to kick stop the fight to complain about what your opponent's doing to you. I mean, it's ridiculous. And were the shots low? Yeah, but they weren't, like, egregiously low shots. They were, like, slightly low. They weren't like they were right in the cup, you know?
Right.
And he was kind of making a big deal about that. Whatever, that's fine. But, I kind of do this a lot, and I'm going to do it again. And it's like I beat a dead horse about these trainers. I don't think that Sullivan should have come off of that 11th round. I just don't. When you're in between the 10th and 11th round, it's corners talking to him. We're here to protect you. We're here. We're not gonna let anything bad happen to you. Okay. And then they turn and say, how do you feel? Do you want to continue? If you're concerned about anything bad happening to him, and you're going through this speech with him, obviously you know something's wrong. You're questioning whether or not he should be going out there. You're concerned for his well-being,
right,
or you wouldn't have said those things to him. And then you turn around and ask him, do you want to go out there? Why do they continue to...
They put it right back on him.
Why did they do that?
I don't
get
it.
Because a fighter, 9 times out of 10, does not want to be shamed. He's not going to say, no, I don't want to go out there.
Right.
So why ask a question you already know the answer to? And why put the onus on the fighter when a fighter can be too great for his own good? And we know, you know, Spike O'Sullivan is the type of guy, he'll be on a deathbed, and someone will ask him, how you feeling? It's like, oh, I feel great. I'm okay. I mean, that's just the way he is. There's no friggin' quitting.
No.
You know?
Not at all. Not at all, man.
The guy's not going to quit. He's not going to stop.
Insane. I don't understand why they do that, and they continue to do that, and fighters continue to get hurt. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what happens. That's what happens. All right, let's talk about Jesse Hart versus Joe Smith Jr. 10 rounds lightweights on ESPN. Let me tell you what, I was so disappointed in Jesse Hart's performance last night. It was pitiful. 97-92 and 98-91 for Smith. Smith wins via split decision. 95-94 for Jesse Hart. I don't know who the guy was that gave the fight to Hart. He had to be taken out back and horsewhipped, all right, because that was awful. That was seriously awful. Somebody had to take him out back, put the boots to him, all right. I don't know what in the world he was watching. I couldn't give Jesse Hart a round in this fight. How somebody gave it to Jesse Hart, I'll never know, man. Jesse Hart looked scared to death in this fight. He did a lot of running, didn't do any punching. Joe Smith walked him down. The entire fight walked him down. Scored a knockdown in the 7th round. Jesse Hart, I don't think, threw one meaningful punch in this fight. Very disappointed, man. I had Jesse Hart to win. I think, who'd you take in this? Did you have Smith?
No, I picked Jesse Hart.
Yeah, I think we both picked Jesse Hart. I think Corey Lee is probably the only one to pick Joe Smith by split decision.
But we both did say that this was not a cakewalk. You know what else
right.
we both said? You know what else we both said? If Joe Smith were to win, he's not going to win by decision.
Yeah.
And he
won by decision. I mean, and he shouldn't have. I mean, he should have won the decision. I mean, he should have won by unanimous decision.
Well,
we knew he was a live dog. I mean, we knew he was a live dog coming in, but, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just...
He looked awful.
I just think that Hart showed Joe Smith a ton of respect, and I realize that the guy's a puncher. But you knew that going in, so you had to have a better game plan, I think, than the one you showed, because you're not... I don't know, it seemed like he was trying to play counterpunch mode, but he couldn't time Joe Smith coming in.
No.
So.
And Joe Smith is not like, I mean, you know, he's a pressure fighter. That's what you have is what you get. You know what you're getting with him, a pressure fighter. pressure fighters are hard to fight, but you figure if you're up at this level, you can deal with it, especially if you're a boxer like Jesse Hart. I mean, how he couldn't deal with that pressure last night. I mean, he looked scared to death in there. That first round, the second round, the third round, just ran. You know, and I understand he's not trying to get hit. I get it. And maybe he was trying to wear him out, but he didn't give him any body shots to think about. He didn't give him anything to wear him out. You know, just awful, man. Did you hear Timothy Bradley's comments after that fight? He was vicious. He said that that Jesse Hart will never be a champion. He doesn't have it up here, and he doesn't have it as skill-wise to be a champion in this weight class. That's awful harsh. If he had a bad night, you know. Now, whether he ever beats Joe Smith or not, I don't know. But he you know, maybe he had a bad night, maybe whatever. But yeah, that was pretty harsh, man. That's a harsh thing.
Yeah,
I'm saying I'm willing to chalk it up to a bad night, but yeah, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Timothy Bradley, as you well know.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on Joe Smith and how he? I thought he looked great, by the way.
Well, Joe Smith surprised me because he just had relentless pressure and he was punching very sharp. I mean, but again, you know, you had Hart in there that was really offering up nothing to stop him from getting the shots off. So if you don't give Joe Smith something to think about when he's on the way coming in like that, then he's just going to keep going. He's not going to stop. And once you allow this guy to build up momentum and you allow this guy to feel comfortable and you allow this guy to build up some confidence, that's just going to add and worsen the situation for yourself as a fighter. So, he was showing Joe Smith way too much respect, it seems to me. And obviously, you have to respect the guy's power.
Right.
But you just can't let him set up shop, plant his feet like that, and just continue to cut the ring off. Like, and credit to Joe Smith, because Joe Smith is pretty good at cutting off the ring. He did it even against, Bivol. You know, Bivol won the fight, but he made Bivol work for that.
Well, sure.
You know? And who's the other guy he fought there? The Cuban guy that he fought.
Oh, Sullivan Barrera.
Sullivan Barrera. He knocked Sullivan Barrera down.
Yeah.
You know, so
Joe Smith is a good fighter, no question about it. I just thought Jesse Hart was a better boxer.
Regardless if Joe Smith wins or loses, he's gonna put up a good fight. He's gonna be in there till the end.
Yeah.
You know, and he's gonna make the opponent work for the victory if they get the victory. So
yeah.
It's never going to be – when you fight Joe Smith, it's never going to be a walk in the park. The scorecards may reflect that, but the process of getting to the finish line against Joe Smith is not a cakewalk. It's not a Sunday drive. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I would go along with that. I would definitely go along with that. Let's go to the phones now. I think this is Ringside Robert. I think Ringside Robert's on the line.
Hello,
Robert,
guys.
What's happening?
How are you? How are you?
How are you, man?
I'm good.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. You guys do a great show, as always. First of all, I'm happy for Joe. I'm happy for Joe Smith, man. He, I thought he had a real good shot in this fight. I have never been really impressed with Jesse Hart. Every time I've watched Jesse Hart fight, it's always been a struggle for him, whether he wins or loses. I don't know if I agree with all of Timothy Bradley's statements, because I agree with you, Eric, by the way. Bradley is just getting worse and worse and worse. But I don't know if he's got what it takes to go any higher in the sport of boxing. I don't know if he'll ever wear a championship belt unless somebody hands him one, like one of the sanctioned bodies or something. I just don't see a bright future for him. I didn't like what I saw in 168. I thought he'd be better at 175, but I don't know, man. I don't know if he's got much of a future in this sport. And Joe Smith, I mean, I don't, you know, he's going to bring his lunch pail to the ring every time he fights, no matter who it is. And you're going to know that you're in there with him, whoever you are. I'm happy for him, because remember, we all didn't know who Joe Smith was when he fought Andrew Farfora. Remember that? We had no idea who he was. And what do you?
I was there, yeah.
He goes in and knocks him out in the first round. And then he proceeds to retire Bernard Hopkins, you know, and put himself on the map. You know, since then, he's lost a couple of fights. But remember, in one of those fights, he fought most of the fight with a broken jaw, you know. So, you know, this guy, he brings it every time he fights. He gives you a show, whether he wins or loses. Hell of a performance by him. And if I was managing Jessica Hart, I'd be wondering what his future is.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, like I said, man, I don't know where Jesse Hart goes from here. You know, I mean, does he go back down in weight? I mean, does he? What does he do? I mean, this was bad. I mean, this was bad. This was a really bad outing for him.
Yeah.
So do we chalk it up to he just had a bad night? What do you do? I don't know. Maybe there was some injury there we didn't know about. Maybe there was some trouble in training. I don't know. But he was virtually shut out in this fight.
Yeah.
I couldn't give him a round.
I thought it was a clean shutout. And that judge that gave Hart the fight, he should never be allowed to judge a fight again. That's you know, that was bizarre.
Never.
Never.
Yeah.
Now, this was, I guess this sets Joe Smith up to fight for the WBO title. And my guess is, since Gilberto Ramirez is the number one contender in that sanctioning body, I guess we're going to see a fight between Gilberto Ramirez and Joe Smith. What do you guys think about that matchup?
You know, I like the fight, but here's Joe Smith's problem, is that Joe Smith is just under the upper echelon of champions there. You know what I mean? He's almost like a gatekeeper. He's almost there. And he'll give you a fight, and he's going to give you everything you got, and you know you're going to get a solid fight. He just doesn't have the skill level as those upper echelon guys.
But remember, Eric, we haven't been thrilled with Gilberto Ramirez every time we've watched him fight either. And Joe Smith is one of those kind of guys, if you take him lightly or think you have an easy cakewalk, I mean I'm talking about Ramirez. If he takes Smith lightly or doesn't take him seriously, Joe Smith could walk out of that ring with the WBO title.
Absolutely. 100%. I mean, listen, you know, he can win at any point. And if you don't believe that, just look at Jean Pascal. You know, I mean, who would have thought we would have talked about him being a title, you know, winning that title and then defending that title. You know, so I guess Marcus Brown and Badu Jack. So, listen, we thought his career was on life support. And now we're talking about him, he's defending titles and everything like that. So, listen, it could happen for Joe Smith, but it's just not likely to happen for him. I totally agree.
And as far as Boots Ennis is concerned, you know who would be a good fight for him? I don't know if they would do it, but what about Jamal James?
Yeah, that would be good. That would be very good.
Because, let's face it, Jamal James has been given all kinds of, you know, not so stellar opponents here lately, and he's ranked number three by one of the organizations. Well, why don't you put two contenders together and let's see who comes out on top?
Let me ask you a question, because I know I'm assuming you didn't watch the fight, the Munguia fight on DAZN.
No, I didn't.
He went up there. Okay, and he went up there and he won the fight against Spike O'Sullivan, and it was more competitive than it probably should have been. I thought Munguia was going to take him out early, but whatever. Where does Munguia go from here? I mean, who would you like to see him? He called out Golovkin, he called out Charlos, and he called out Canelo.
He's at
160 now. Where?
I agree with you. I think, remember, wasn't it the Nevada State Athletic Commission, a couple years ago, when they would not sanction a fight between him and Triple G? Remember when Triple G was trying to find an opponent to fill in for somebody that canceled, and they wouldn't allow him?
That was him, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was him, wasn't it? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And so they've agreed to a fight, before. I don't see any reason why they wouldn't agree to it now.
Yeah. I think that's a good fight. I really do. I think that, Munguia is young. He's strong. And he hits hard, but he can also be hit. And Triple G's still got, he's still got a power. He can still put you away.
And let's face it, Eric.
It's an interesting fight.
Let's face it, Eric. I think 160 is going to be a better division for him because he's so big. I think you're eventually going to see him one day at light heavyweight because of how big he is. But since he's going to make the stop at 160, let's take advantage of what he has to offer. And let's put him in with Triple G. And then after that, if he's successful with Triple G, then why don't you set him up with, Daniel Jacobs, people like that. And, let's see what he can do. I don't know how far he's going to go in middleweight because of the current champions there. He called out to Charlos, and he called out Canelo, and he called out Triple G. But I don't see him beating any of those. I think he'd have difficulty with somebody like Andre. But as long as you match him up correctly, I'm not talking soft opponents, but give him big enough names, and if he's able to be competitive or beat some of those names, then you might think about, other top-notch echelon type fights. But no, I think Triple G would be good, and I don't know if Danny's officially moved up to 168 or not, but that would be another fighter I would consider putting Munguia in with. I mean, since Danny Jacobs is on DAZN, and since Munguia is on DAZN, that's a fight that's probably easily made depending on where Danny Jacobs is going to campaign now.
Do you think that Munguia, his ceiling, he's got a very low ceiling? I mean, as far as, it's just based on his abilities.
Well, we got to remember, what is he, 23, 24 years old?
Yeah.
I think he was handed the 154 WBO title a little bit too early. I think he was one of these champions that fell into a spot, and he hadn't developed fully. So now, because he's got a big name now, you can't give him the kind of opponents that he really needs. So I don't know, because of his early chance at a title, I don't know if we're ever going to see what Munguia really has to offer, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, you know what? And Omar Rodriguez in the chat said he saw some improvements from Munguia this time around. And you know what? I did too. For a couple of rounds, and then he just went back to, he reminds me a lot of Jermaine Taylor in that sense, where he'll show a wrinkle like in the first couple rounds, and then as soon as he gets hit, he goes back to with what he knows.
Yeah.
So it's tough. And Chandler M says Munguia is only 22, cut him some slack. I get it, but how much is he going to pick up? You know what I mean? How much is he going to pick up if he's and he keeps reverting to his old style. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, that's my problem with a guy like Munguia getting a title so early. Maybe he wasn't boxing ready enough to have that belt. Maybe his development wasn't finished enough. Now, I know with you've got Vasily Lomachenko and other people winning titles, early. So maybe the new trend is now if somebody shows something, well, let's give him a title shot as soon as possible. But I think in this case, it may have hurt this guy.
Was that his first fight with Eric Morales? Has he been trained by Eric Morales?
Yeah. No,
but I could be wrong.
That's his second fight, Eric. His last fight. His last fight at 154 was his first fight. So this is the second time that him and Eric Morales have been together.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. Sweet. All right, man.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to talk about?
No. And as far as
what did you
Carissa...
think? Let me ask you a question. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's start with Carissa Shields. I was going to say you didn't see Alejandro Jimenez. So I can't really ask you about that one.
No.
But let's talk about Carissa Shields here for a minute. What? What were your thoughts on her? And what were your thoughts on her becoming a three division champ?
Well, I'm proud of the fact that she was able to do that, but I agree with you guys. I've followed boxing since the Ollie Frazier first fight in 1971. So I've been watching boxing a long time. Normally, a boxer, whether male or female, they normally start at the lowest weight and work their way up. Now she's done it in the exact reverse. She made her pro debut at 168, got a title there, went down to 160, got a title there. Now she's at 154, gets a title there. How much lower can one take their body? I mean, she's called out Cecilia Breakhouse. That would be a good fight, and I agree with you. If she's going to take that fight, she needs to go down to 147, but you guys talk about weight cuts all the time. How much can one body do between fights? I mean, we talk about fighters not being able to make weight. Well, don't you eventually want to find a division where you're comfortable and stay there and make a name for yourself? Now, maybe in women's boxing, you can't do that.
It's not,
I don't know.
She's making money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's not making any money at the division. Nobody's up there at 168 or 160.
Right, well, right.
Even with the men, I mean, weight jumping has become very common in the sport of boxing.
Yeah. Beeb, I wonder how healthy that is, because she started out at 168 and she's slowly working her way down. I'm not in her camp. I don't know how things are being done, but you've got to wonder, how low can somebody go or how high can somebody go?
Well, here's the thing, Robert, and that's a great point, because I've brought that up several times about, the weight jumping and how it has an effect on a fighter's body and this and that. But the thing is she's still in her 20s, and she looked okay. She looked physically okay. She didn't look drawn at the weight. She didn't look like she had a hard time making the weight. I'm not sure if that's her optimum weight. Maybe 160 could be. But again, she's not a real tall girl. I mean, she's a thick girl. She's very muscular. But she could downsize a little bit. I mean, like Joshua downsized.
She could downsize.
No, she could downsize. I mean, like Joshua lost some weight.
I'm glad he said it, Eric.
She doesn't have to carry that much muscle is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
I agree.
Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see, where she goes, because I agree with you guys. I don't know what kind of options she has, because during the whole broadcast on Friday, during both of the women's fights, they constantly talked about how weak it was, how there's not very many people in certain weight classes. Well, Showtime and other networks need to learn how to promote it better. And one way you can do that, guys, and I've constantly said this forever, have the rules be the same way. Everybody fights three-minute rounds. The men fight three-minute rounds. Why can't the women? You guys picked on me constantly for saying that, but come on.
I don't know that we did.
Yeah.
Did we ever mess with him about that?
Don't come in here with the violin, because you're not going to get it.
That's the violin.
You want some sympathy, Lester? You want some sympathy, Lester?
I'm not talking about violins, guys. Come on. But no, seriously, I mean, if they would make that change and promote it, look, I'm not a UFC fan, but look at how many women are successful in that organization. I mean, come on. Yeah.
They're way more popular. That's why all these boxers are trying to go over there.
Yeah. By the way, if Shields gets in the ring with that girl in the UFC, she won't have a boxing career left.
Yeah. Nunez tearing her up, boy. Nunez a killer.
pretty much saying what we said about 10 minutes ago before you got on, Robert.
Yeah. All right, guys, I'm going to get out of here, but thanks a lot. And like I said, I'll try to drop in every once in a while.
Where can we find you? Where can we listen to you on your show?
You can listen to me at Legend Oldies Legend Oldies Radio or legendoldies.com. That's where the podcasts are. The show is called Sports Lounge Live. We talk about all sports, football, basketball, baseball, you know, whatever the popular topic is. Like tonight we'll be talking about the NFL playoffs, and that'll be most of our conversation. We're on from 8 to 9 every Sunday night, and if you go to the website, you can hear all the old shows. They're all there for you to download or whatever. And we also give a phone number out during the show if people want to participate. So anyway, that's where you can find me.
Real quick, last question here, Who are the two teams in the Super Bowl this year?
Well, man, one of my favorites got their butts kicked last night because I honestly thought it was going to be Baltimore out of the AFC. But now I am going to take the Kansas City Chiefs to beat the Tennessee Titans next week. And I think – and right now Green Bay is ahead of Seattle, but I'm hoping that Seattle comes back and wins because the Seahawks and 49ers, the two previous games they played this year have been classics. So I want to see a third matchup of that because if Green Bay wins, when Green Bay went into San Francisco earlier this season, San Francisco mauled the hell out of them. So I want to see a competitive game next Sunday. So I'm picking Kansas City and San Francisco to meet in the Super Bowl.
All right, good deal. So, all right, Robert, we will talk to you soon, man. Thank you.
Okay, see ya. Bye-bye.
All right. What is wrong with you?
He says that we picked on him, but he came and said word for word what we just said.
Well, I don't remember like talking about that. I always thought there should be 2-3 minute rounds.
Yeah.
I don't remember
we always said there should be 3 minute rounds.
Yeah, I don't remember ever going against that. By the way, you guys in the chat, I can honestly say that I'm very disappointed. I'm very disappointed in you guys in the chat today talking about Alejandro Jimenez. You know, I mean, come on.
Listen, you started it.
How did I start it? Why do I get blamed for this?
I mean,
how is it that I get blamed?
Your lack of respect for women is just appalling.
What? I love women.
I mean, Lois has...
Lois? Your blow-up doll?
Lois has had to go to human resources on you several times.
Screw Lois.
All right? And now you're talking about this young lady.
Lady? Who? Jimenez? Oh, yeah. Never mind. All right?
I mean, this is disgraceful.
This
episode
terrible.
may get
why would you call her disgraceful?
This may get taken down off of YouTube because this is what you're doing right now.
I didn't do anything. I didn't say nothing, man. I'm talking about the chat.
I mean,
I was talking about the chat. I said the chat. I was disappointed. What do I need to say? I said I was disappointed in the chat.
Okay.
With the way they were talking about this young lady.
Meanwhile, you're getting started. You're riling them up.
I didn't rile up anybody.
All right.
I didn't even do anything, man. I did nothing. I didn't do nothing wrong.
Okay.
You're horrible. You're a horrible, horrible person. Sorry, B. Very disappointed. Oh my goodness. All right, here, let's see. Yeah, what's going on with the hold on 1 second, because I don't really have I'm not watching the games or anything. Wow, Green Bay up in the second quarter, 3 minutes and 50 seconds left, 14-3 over the Seahawks. Wow, I guess they're playing in Green Bay. I don't know. BB, you follow football?
I watch the playoffs a little bit, but I'm not a huge football fan, I'm sorry to say.
Given the fact that your team is out of it, I mean, is that any...
Yeah, that has a lot to do with it, too.
Yeah. Because they're always in it, though. I mean, they're usually always in it.
That ball that was dropped during one of the series, last series of downs there. I couldn't believe the guy dropped the ball. I was shocked.
Yeah.
It was like that would have been a first down, and there could have been a field goal territory.
Yeah. Oh, guys, man, I tell you what, though. I mean, they make those catches all the time. They make them in practice, and they make them in the games. I mean, they drop one, and it's just like, oh, man, you know, it's just, you know, they you get so used to them automatically catching everything, and they're just so good, man. All right, let's talk about the upcoming fights here. January 17th. I'm going to assume this is a Friday. It's on Showtime. Vladimir Shishkin versus Ulysses Sierra, 10-round super middleweights. Shojihan Ergashev versus Adrian Estrella, 10 rounds welterweights. Jericho O'Quinn versus Oscar Vasquez, 8 rounds junior bantamweights. I'm going to go out on a limb here, B, and say this is a showbox card.
Yeah.
Not much. I don't know. I mean, Ergashev is pretty good, but I don't know. Maybe I watch, maybe I don't. I don't know. It's just the way it goes. January 18th from Verona, New York on ESPN and ESPN Deportes. Elider Alvarez versus Michael Seals, 10 rounds, light heavyweights. That's a good fight. Dave, that's a solid fight.
100%.
Felix Verdejo versus Manuel Ray Rojas, 10 rounds, lightweights. Christopher Diaz versus Adelson Dos Santos, 8 rounds, featherweights. Should be pretty good. Also that same night in Philadelphia on Fox, Julian Williams, J-Rock Williams versus Jason Rosario, 12 rounds for Williams' IBF and WBA junior middleweight title. And Chris Colbert versus Jezreel Corrales, 12 rounds for the vacant WBA interim junior lightweight title. I hate the WBA. I can't even tell you how much I hate the WBA. That's ridiculous. An interim junior – why have an interim? Why do you need an interim title? You either got a champ or you don't have a champ. I don't get it. Gotta hate that. Jorge Cota, also on the undercard there, versus Thomas Lamana, 10 rounds junior middleweights. Let's see what else we got here. Nothing. Wow. Some good fights this weekend, though. Definitely some good fights here. Elider Alvarez versus Michael Seals, man, that's a good fight. I like, you know, you want to favor Alvarez in there, but I don't know. That's a good fight. Let me ask you, though, what are your thoughts on J-Rock Williams, Jason Rosario? Where's Jared Hurd in this mix? How come and why is he fighting Jason Rosario, of all people?
Well, Jared Hurd says he wants his titles back now, but he didn't exercise the rematch clause, so
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe he wanted some time off in between fights. I don't know. But when's he fighting next, and who's he fighting? Jared Hurd.
I don't know. I think he's fighting soon, but he's not fighting. My guess is he wanted like another fight beforehand.
Yeah.
That's what I'm guessing.
That's what I'm guessing too.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing at all. Just an FYI now. Okay, so next week when we're talking about football, next week we'll be on at noon. All right, we'll be on at noon from about noon to two next week. So you guys can catch the games. I think the games start around 3 o'clock or something like that.
Yeah.
And Championship Sunday, the AFC and NFC championships happen. It's always January is always one of those weird times because you got the Super Bowl. Well, I guess Super Bowl is next month, but yeah, the AFC championship games and the championship games, and then a couple weeks later you got the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And yeah, everybody loves football. Everybody likes to watch football or whatever. So rather than you coming back and watch, we'll just do it at 12 o'clock, and that way you guys can watch the games and all that other stuff. It's not. I mean, I can't imagine a lot of people would tune in during that time anyway. So that way everybody can watch games and stuff like that and catch a show. It'll be, how nice is that? You know, you get to talk about boxing, then you get to watch some football. I mean, Steve, what's better than that?
Got to love it, right?
What else is there, right? You got to like it. All right, let's talk about our news and rumors here. So the big news this week, for me anyway, the big news was Terrence Crawford, man, took to Twitter this week and called out Errol Spence. And the two really went back and forth. I think it was actually Crawford's sister talked, you know, kind of called out Errol Spence.
Yeah.
Crawford then got into beef, called out Spence. Spence fired back, said we can do it anytime because they wanted to fight. And he says, don't blame promoters. He said, you know, we can fight anytime. Anyway, apparently, Terrence Crawford posted that the two talked on the phone and verbally agreed to a fight. I had a feeling when I saw this going on Twitter that this may be closer when we think, man. And Terrence Crawford didn't say when the two agreed. He said that the fight will be soon, very soon. So it sounds like this might be the next one up. B, what were your thoughts when you read this Twitter banner back and forth? And what were your thoughts when, I mean, do you think this fight's actually going to take place now?
I'm skeptical because they basically had a conversation, but they didn't really confirm that the fight was going to happen. They said that it will happen one day. I can't remember them saying soon, but I thought that they said, did they say soon? Are you sure that they said?
I thought they said soon, yeah. I thought Terrence Crawford tweeted out soon.
Okay, so. Again, I mean, I think Sean Porter will probably fight Crawford before Spence will. I think that fight's more likely to happen. And I think Spence is going to have his comeback fight. And if that fight is going to happen, I don't think it's going to happen this year. I think it'll happen next year. But I hope I'm wrong. But that depends on how Porter does against Crawford, too, because that's not an easy fight with Crawford at all.
How do you think that fight goes down?
I pick Crawford to win the fight, but I also pick Spence to win the fight against Porter, too, and the fight is more competitive than I thought. So, styles make fights, and I think that Porter's style could present problems to Crawford, definitely, because he's so awkward. And I don't think there's anyone that Crawford faced that can compare to Porter. I think Porter's got a style that it's always going to be an ugly, awkward fight for anyone who fights him. And Porter's always been in every fight, even the ones he's lost. So I thought that Spence was going to steamroll Porter. I was wrong. He did. So I'm going to pick Crawford in this fight. But again, I could be wrong here.
Yeah, I would pick Crawford in this fight, and I would pick Crawford by knockout in this fight. I think Crawford will get rid of him. And I'll tell you why. I think that Crawford has the ability to figure you out. And once he does, it's game over.
But how do you figure out a guy like Porter who comes at you from all different crazy angles and just is so awkward and unpredictable? He's probably one of the hardest styles to have to figure out if you're a fighter.
Yeah, but I thought that Spence could have knocked him out. I thought Spence should have won that fight a lot easier. But I thought Spence just played right into that style. And I thought he played into that style on purpose. You know, I mean, I think he made that a more difficult fight than it needed to be. And I don't think that was to credit Sean Porter. I think that was Errol Spence's doing. Because if you watch, remember the Mikey Garcia fight?
It's almost like he tried to
I'll say that again. I'm sorry. It looks like you cut out.
I said it's almost like he tries to beat you at his own game.
Right.
His own game to prove a point.
Right. That's my thing. And, you know, sooner or later, you're going to have to fight your own style. Don't fight somebody else's style. You know what I mean? And you said that you liked Spence before the accident.
Yeah.
What are your reservations now? Versus Spence and Porter, or Spence and Crawford, excuse me.
I don't like picking fighters that come off like injuries. I have a bit of skepticism picking fighters that are coming off injuries.
Yeah.
Because I never know for sure if they're 100%.
Right.
You know, like when Cotto fought Martinez, and both of Martinez's knees were jacked up, and I was telling everyone that's going to be a huge, huge back during the fight because Martinez uses his legs a lot. That's his style.
Yeah.
And if he can't use his legs effectively and efficiently, he's going to have problems against a guy like Cotto who can cut off the ring really, really well. And that was a prime Cotto. So then people were like, oh, it doesn't matter with bad knees or not, he still beats Cotto. I said, all right, okay. Now, if that was a Bernard Hopkins or an Andre Ward, then that would be a different story because those guys know how to plant their feet in the pocket and they know how to spin, how to fight on the inside and make themselves in a loser target just with head and upper body movement. But Martinez wasn't that guy. He was a guy that used his legs to carry him in and out of danger, you know, in and out of the pocket and to get his shots off. He was basically an ambush guy that liked to go in and out. And if he wasn't able to do that effectively, he wasn't going to win. So,
yeah.
I think with Spence, like, I don't know if there's going to be any residual effects from that accident. I really don't know.
I don't either.
And I want to be optimistic and
yeah.
think that they won't. But, again, I just got to say this. Not only from a physiological standpoint, but from a psychological standpoint, like, you could have some PTSD from that.
How could you not?
That could, it's like this. Like, you know, when you're a kid and I'm going to say something stupid, and I'm not even a kid. I got bit by a dog last time by that pool. You were laughing your ass off when I told you the story, right?
Yeah.
And that was the first time
poodle.
Was
it a standard poodle, or was it like a, you know, like a miniature, like small poodle? It was standard, right? It was big, standard.
Yeah.
Standard.
Big for a poodle. But, but ever since that poodle bit me, now when I walk, like when I go, you know, because I like to go on my walks or whatever, and I'm, you know, when I go do my walks or I'm just out and about doing things out in the street, and I see a dog, I don't get close to him because I used to love dogs, and I'm not saying I don't like dogs anymore, but I'm just a little bit skeptical because I got bit.
Sure.
Now, you know, will Spence still have that aggressiveness after? It just sounds kind of stupid, but Spence had that aura about him where he felt like he was invincible.
Yeah.
And then he gets in this accident, and then he realizes it kind of humbles him a little bit, possibly. Again, I'm not a psychiatrist.
Right.
But I'm just saying this could have tamed him a little bit, could have made him feel like, hey, you know, I can get hurt too. I'm human, you know. And is there going to be any psychological effect from him knowing that, you know, am I the same that I was before this accident? And that's going to weigh on him, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it might. I mean, you know, you wonder, like, I mean, was he knocked out in that car accident? I mean, does he remember the car accident? You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, and not only that, he just didn't sound right. I don't care what anyone says. He did not sound
right. He didn't. He really didn't.
Something was just off.
Yeah, something was off on that, for sure.
So,
you know, a lot of people don't think he'll be the same after the car crash. The only way to find out is he's got to fight.
Yeah.
You got to see him fight.
And I don't know who he's going to fight next, but he says he doesn't want a soft touch. But who else is there? I mean, you got Danny Garcia tied up. You got Sean Porter getting ready to look in a fight Crawford. Manny Pacquiao.
He ain't fighting him.
So, who else is out there?
Well, you know what? Who is Pacquiao fighting? Let's go down that route.
I don't know.
Because I thought he was going to fight Garcia, but Garcia's tied up now.
Yeah, he's fighting Ribcatch or whatever. So let me ask you this: is that? I don't get that. That was supposed to be his opponent, and then that whatever happened, it's not happening to opponent. But let me ask you this: would Pacquiao be a good opponent for Spencer? You know, post-accident?
I don't think Pacquiao's ever a good opponent for Spence. I think Spence murks him.
Even now, though? After the accident?
Yeah, Pacquiao. You saw that Keith Thurman fight, man. Keith Thurman was hitting him with right hands at will. I mean, listen, man, Keith Thurman
Pacquiao
is what he
was
is.
Always, Pacquiao was always susceptible to that right
hand. Hey, what do you think? I mean, what do you think he's going to do to him? What do you think Spence is going to do to him? They don't want that fight, man.
Interesting point, bro. I mean,
yeah, I mean, listen, man, Pacquiao's, again, man, like I said, Keith Thurman was a winnable fight, but, I mean, and again, I picked Keith Thurman to win that fight, but at the same time, man, he didn't look all that great in there. hitting. I mean, he was getting hit. I mean, there was points in that fight where he was getting hit too flush too much, you know.
People keep talking about that dental work from Errol Spence. Again, we're not talking about how his voice sounded. We're talking about the speech patterns, the pauses.
Right.
How, you know, the long pauses in between sentences and how he kind of was speaking slower.
Yes.
That has nothing to do with dental.
No. You know? And I understand, you know, maybe teeth hurt or whatever. But again, man, it was his patterns. It was his. It was the
speech
way
patterns.
He was talking. Yeah.
And it was, you know, just. Okay, he was talking slower.
It almost like he was intoxicated. That's that. To me, that's what I thought.
Yeah, he was.
That's what I
slower.
Thought. You know, and again, man, I don't know. You know, listen, man, I don't know, and I don't want to. Certainly, I don't want to accuse him of anything, but that's just what it looked like to me, that he was like intoxicated.
And Patasos 916 makes a great point. Is Rodeo hasn't been the same since his accident.
Yeah. Yeah, he really hasn't. And he was supposed to be the next one.
He was the second coming, right?
Yeah, he really was, you know. Yeah, he really was. Who's the guy, speaking of Puerto Rico, who's the guy, Xander? Is it Xander or Xavier or you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The one that Golden Boy signed or whatever? Is
yeah.
he a Golden Boy fighter?
Is he a Golden Boy fighter or
was he
a top rank fighter?
I don't know. He's
top
something. Maybe
top,
he's a, I think I believe he's probably a top ranked guy.
He's a top ranked fighter. He lost his first pro fight. Yeah.
No. You're thinking of the guy that beat Shakur in the amateurs, the Cuban dude.
No, there's another Puerto Rican guy.
But he's a Puerto Rican dude, and he's supposed to be pretty good, man. Guys in the chat, if you know who it is, let me know.
Who's won a gold medal, and then he lost.
That's the Cuban guy who beat Shakur.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, it was a Puerto Rican guy that signed to Top Rank. He lost his first pro. That wasn't that guy's first pro fight.
No, but who is he? I think he was a Golden Boy guy. He's like 16 or 17. He was like 17 years old or something like that, or something
was
like
a guy,
that.
There was the Puerto Rican Olympic gold medalist in the last Olympics.
Mm-hmm. There was?
And he turned pro, and he lost his lost his first fight.
Let me Google this. Yeah, who's the Puerto Rican gold medalist? Zandas, there he is. He's got it. Let me see here. Let me put it up here. He's got to be. Yeah, he fights for Top Rank.
Yeah.
Xander Zayas for Top Rank. And he's undefeated, right? I believe he's undefeated. But they're talking about him like
Juan,
he's the second coming,
Juan,
man.
Juan Evangelisti Venice. I think this guy was. No, it's not him.
Let me see here in the box right.
I don't know who this guy is. Not killing me.
I know. Give me 1 second here, guys. I'm going to pull up his record. And there's Zayas, yeah. Yeah, he's 3-0 with two knockouts. One last night against Corey Champion. Let's see here. Yeah, one last night against Corey Champion. He was 1-1, unanimous decision, TKO and KO. Yeah, so this guy's from San Juan, Puerto Rico. And they're really touting him as the next guy. You know, as the next guy over there. So he's going to, they're talking about like he's like the next Trinidad or something like that. So, yeah. I don't think Omar Rodriguez said, I'm pretty sure Puerto Rico's never had a boxing gold medal in the Olympics. Yeah. I know.
Oh, Rob Z. Ramirez stunned and pro defeat.
Cuban. He's the guy to beat Shakur.
Oh. No, this guy. Oh, okay.
He beat Shakur in the medal round.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, that's good.
He's Cuban. I don't know why I was thinking Puerto Rican. I'm so sorry. Okay.
No, Putasso says that he's the youngest ever to sign a promo contract. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Tony Yayo is asking if Canelo is fighting Saunders. It's a very good possibility. That's what I'm, from what I understand, that's the fight they're looking at. That's the fight they're looking to line up, is Canelo and Billy Joe Saunders. Beeb, how do you think that fight goes?
You know, it's so funny. You know, Jesse Reekin, who calls into the show all the time.
Yeah.
He asked me that yesterday. He called me up and we were talking about that fight.
Yeah.
And I said that it's a 115-113 fight either way.
That's a tough fight. Very tough fight.
But Canelo's going to get the decision.
Canelo will get the decision, yeah. That's not an easy fight because Billy Joe Saunders, it's hard to hit that guy.
That's gonna
and he's
be,
such a good boxer, man.
That's going to be like the Lara Canelo fight was.
Yeah.
It's going to be similar to that.
That's a good fight, man. That's a dangerous fight. That's a dangerous fight for anybody.
That's a tough fight. Isn't
dangerous
it?
Fight for anybody. Sean Newton says that Garcia versus Linares will be on that undercard as well. So you're looking forward to that.
A good fight.
Yeah, I think so too. That's a really good fight. I think that Billy Joe Saunders has a very good chance in that fight. It's just, it's not, I mean, he's one of those guys. They were talking about Munguia last night and how he called out the Charlos, he called out Triple G, and he called out Canelo. They're saying the one guy he didn't call out was Demetrius Andrade.
No one calls that guy
out. No one calls that guy out, son, because he's a nightmare to fight. He's just an absolute, he's like fighting Billy Joe Saunders. He's a nightmare to fight. You don't want to fight that guy.
I think he's a tougher style matchup for anyone than even Billy Joe Saunders because of the size and his dimension.
Yeah, it's a bad matchup for just about anybody. I mean, it really is. He's just it's a
horrible
style matchup.
Horrible
style matchup.
It's a bad style matchup.
Yeah. Omar Rodriguez said he's a high risk, low reward.
Yeah,
he's kind of like, yeah, you remember how, what's his face was, who was it, Guillermo Wigando, back in his heyday, you know, he was like very high, he had a bunch of people in his division, nobody wanted to fight him, because again, he was high risk and low reward.
John Newton says he thinks Munguia will be Andre's mandatory challenger.
Doesn't matter, he's not going to, I doubt that Munguia's people will take that. They're not going after that fight.
They won't touch that one.
No, no way.
No way, huh?
I don't think so. Do you? I mean, let me ask you a question. If you were Munguia's handler, you touch that fight?
Well, it depends. If I couldn't get any other fight, I'd have to do something. But I don't know.
I don't know, man.
I wouldn't want to take it if I didn't have to. It depends on the circumstances.
Yeah. Tony Yo-Yo asked me, will Billy Joe Saunders be in shape? Not impressed with his last fight on the Logan Paul card. Will he be in shape? Listen, man, if he's fighting Canelo, he'll be in shape. I don't think there's any question about that.
Well, here's another thing about Billy Joe Saunders, too. This guy's been reported as his highest 200 pounds in a team fight. Not a good guy.
No.
Such a thing at 30. He's not 30 yet, but he's getting there.
And we both know this. Like, the harder, you know, the older you get, the harder it is to take that weight off.
I think he's about 30 right now. I think he's 30 years old right now. So.
Yeah. Speaking of the Logan Paul undercard, did you hear that Logan Paul wants to fight, who is it, Antonio Brown from the NFL? These two, and I think they're like in talks or something like that. Because Antonio Brown was like, he wasn't suspended, but he was dropped from the NFL. And he's one of those, like, he's really good, but he's one of those controversial players that's, like, when you bring him in, he's just not worth the hassle, which should tell you everything you need to know about the guy. Like, look, if this guy can play ball, which he can, Antonio Brown's a very good receiver, very good football player, and they won't bring you in, just let you know that, like, that man, that guy, you know, I mean – for the NFL not to take you, and all the teams in the NFL who need receivers, like, and they're not even, man, that's something, man. Like, so he needs money, obviously, or he needs something. So, yeah, he's talking about boxing Logan Paul. I would favor Logan Paul in that fight, but that is what it is.
Yeah, crazy.
Potasso says that Munguia is tailor-made for Triple G. I don't know, man. He does get hit a lot. I'll tell you this. That's one of the more entertaining fights I think we could see this year.
Yeah.
I really do. I think that's one of the more entertaining fights. You got to favor Triple G, right? I think you got to favor Triple G.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Munguia does have a shot here. I mean, he does have a chance. It's not like a run over. You know, he does have a chance here. I mean, he can hit and he can be hit. Munguia.
Especially after that Devin Tenko fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't look good in that fight.
No, he really didn't. Not at all. JC says Munguia has a granite chin. Yeah, but, you know, I mean, we've seen him wobble before. We've seen him rock before. Omar Rodriguez said Triple G's jab will set Munguia up for the KO. Yeah, probably, maybe. I don't know. I don't know, man. It's an interesting fight. I'll say that. It's an interesting fight. No question about that. Let's talk about this, man. More interesting fights down the way. Josh Taylor signs with Top Rank. This is huge. It really is. It's huge for Top Rank. It's huge for fans. Josh Taylor is now in the same promotion as Jose Ramirez. This sets up a unification fight for those two in the 140-pound division. If Josh Taylor wants to move up, he could possibly fight Terrence Crawford. It's just so many matchups, man. This division is stacked already. He can move up to welterweight. Best move Josh Taylor can do. Best move, honestly.
Well, he wants that Ramirez fight.
He's going to get it. He's going to get it. He may not get it next, but he's going to get it.
Yeah, he wants that Ramirez fight.
Yeah. I mean, and then you're going to have a unified champion.
So it makes sense. It makes sense to him. That's why he's coming.
Yeah.
Make that fight.
Is that a fight you like, or would you rather see him fight somebody else?
No, I love the fight. It's unification. It's a great fight.
What do you think of him and Terrence Crawford possible, like, down the road?
I think Crawford would beat him. Which one? Ramirez or Taylor?
Either of them. Anybody.
I think Ramirez presents a good, a more difficult style matchup for Crawford. Because a lot of people think that Josh Taylor beats Ramirez. I don't think so. I think
you think Ramirez beats him, huh?
Yeah, I like Ramirez. I actually like Ramirez pretty big in that fight, to be honest.
Wow.
I just think that Ramirez is a tough dude, man.
I tell you what, I like Taylor. He's just a good boxer. He's just a solid technician. You know, he really is. To me, anyway, he's just that solid boxer.
I actually had Prograis winning the fight.
I had Taylor winning that fight, I think. Yeah, I had Taylor winning that fight. It was razor close.
Yeah, I had him winning the fight 115 and 130, but it definitely could have gone either way. And more people had Taylor winning the fight anyway, so. I know me and D-Style were doing a live cast of the fight, and we both had Taylor winning. I mean, Ramirez winning 115 and 113. So. It was a close fight.
Yeah, very close, very close.
You can't complain about the decision.
No. And that's the other thing. You still got Prograis lurking around in that division. So, you know, and you could argue, like I said, I mean, you could argue he didn't lose that fight. I mean, obviously he lost it on the scorecards, but, I mean, he couldn't have gone home feeling like too much of a loser. I'll be honest, man.
Yeah.
It's a close fight. Could have went either way.
John Doe makes a good point in the chat. He says Munguia lost to Hogan. And this speaks to my point that I was talking about before when we were discussing about why did Munguia move up to 160 because he envisioned him beating any of these guys.
Yeah.
And I've talked about this before. Obviously, it's going to be a tougher road for him at 160. There's no question about that. But the problem was, with all due respect to Hogan, you know, you were putting yourself in a position to lose to guys that you really weren't supposed to lose to at 154 because you were having so much problems making the weight.
Yeah.
At least now you're going to be losing to elite guys if you do lose. So you'd rather have an elite guy beat you than a guy who's not elite. So I'd rather lose to a Triple G than lose to a Hogan, with all due respect, if I'm him. So, and he's going to get paid a lot more money at 160 than he was at 154 because he's a marquee matchup. He's a big. You know, imagine him fighting Canelo, the Mexico versus Mexico rivalry.
Yeah.
Think of the amount of money that fight can generate. And just think of the size of his purse in that fight compared to any purse that he's made at 154. It's just not even comparable. So.
Sean Newton Boxing speculates that Prograis is going to sign with DAZN looking for that Mikey Garcia fight. How do you think that fight goes down? I got to favor Mikey in that, but, man, Prograis is good. Prograis is a very good fighter.
Prograis is a dark horse in that fight. He's a live dog.
Very much. Very much.
He would definitely be the underdog in that fight, but he's a live dog, no question. He's definitely a live dog.
Yeah. Tiny Tim asks, let's see here, what do you guys make of White Sang and Wilder being sparked by Klitschko? I didn't hear the comments, so I can't really comment.
I guess there's a rumor going around that correct me if I'm wrong, Tiny Tim, that Wilder got busted up by Klitschko and sparring. I don't know.
When?
No,
couldn't have been recently.
No, back when Wilder was on the come up.
Who cares? I mean, who cares? I mean, we saw that Wilder got knocked down by, David Hay? Wasn't it David Hay that knocked him down when they were sparring?
I'm not sure, but I know David Hay gave him some problems in sparring.
Yeah, I thought there was a video out there of David Hay
I can't remember
knocking him down.
But I know it was tough sparring for him.
It doesn't matter. It's only sparring, man. And like Tiny Tim says, it's only sparring. But, yeah, I don't make too much. You know, guys, I don't make too much out of sparring sessions. I really don't. Because the thing is, like, when you spar somebody, you could be mimicking somebody else's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Sonny Kanto is sparring, I believe, with Tyson Fury for this fight. But he's going to try to mimic Wilder in the fight. He's not going to be Sonny Kanto. Anyway. He's going to mimic Wilder. So It doesn't matter. I mean, none of that stuff matters, you know? Because, you know, you don't know what the context of the sparring was. You don't know who's fresh and who wasn't fresh. Maybe the guy just did a bunch of rounds. Maybe you're one of – it doesn't matter.
You have no idea?
No. And you're not – I mean, you know, when you're in sparring, there's not – you know, obviously there's – you know, you do your best in sparring, but there's a lot of variables there. You know, there's too many variables there to say yay or nay, you know.
You don't go into sparring with the same mindset that you do when you're going into a fight.
Of course not.
It's not the same.
No, you feel like you're protected in sparring. You know what I mean? You're protected. You're wearing headgear. You're protected, you know.
You don't feel that same danger in sparring that you feel in a real fight.
No, of course not. No.
I don't care what anyone says. It's a different ball game because when you're fighting for money, you fight harder.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and Sean Newton brings up a really good point, too. He talks about that Floyd. He said that's like Floyd versus Spadafora. Do you remember the infamous sparring session between Floyd and Spadafora?
That was a
good one. I mean, Spadafora just toyed with him, basically, and just annihilated that guy. I mean, just really put it on Floyd in that session.
Yeah.
But again, Floyd was coming back. He hadn't fought. He hadn't done it. He got off the couch, basically, and went in there and sparred with that guy.
Yeah.
You know, and what do you expect? I mean, does anybody think that Spadafora would have beat him in a fight? No. I don't. I mean, listen, Spadafora is really, really good. No question about that. But I don't think that Spadafora beats – I wouldn't favor Spadafora in a fight against Floyd after seeing that sparring footage back then.
No.
You know, so, I mean – you know, I think we just got to, like, you know, everybody hears the sparring sessions, who won, who lost. It doesn't matter. None of that matters.
Everyone goes crazy about that shit.
Yeah, even in the UFC. I mean, remember Rashad Evans and John Jones? Rashad Evans apparently used to, like, Big Brother John Jones all the time at sparring.
Yeah.
Look what happened in the fight. Didn't work out, you know? I mean, it just is what it is.
Different times in people's careers, too, when they cross paths.
Sure.
Sparring. You know, a lot of times you put a young kid in there with a wily veteran, and of course, the veteran's going to have his way in boxing and his sparring session, you know. So,
yeah, I mean, what about you remember Tommy Hearns and Muhammad Ali? Remember that sparring session?
I heard about it. Yeah,
it was a one-sided sparring session. I mean, Hearns. I mean, Ali's on his way out. He's a heavyweight. You know, Hearns is a welterweight. I mean, come on, man. You can't really. I don't know. You can't trust anything in the sparring session.
No. I agree.
All right, the World Boxing Super Series. Junior Durticos and Maris Bredas will finally fight in Latvia on March 21st. This is for the World Boxing Super Series Cruiserweight Ali Trophy. Listen, man, this is a solid fight, and listen, I'll watch it because I want to see these two fight. But as far as the prize goes, I don't know. You know, listen, man, both of you were in the tournament last time. You both lost the tournament last time. It's kind of, I don't know, kind of like you're fighting for second place here. So take all the tournament stuff out of it. This is a solid fight.
Yeah.
I thought Andrew Tabidi would be in the finals. I didn't picture him being, you know, beaten by Vorticos.
That was a shocker.
I thought it was. I thought it was. Let's talk about the Super Series for just a second here. Where do you Sean Newton said he's got Vorticos in this fight. I don't know who to say, but they're both great, great fighters, man. But does the World Boxing Super Series come back? I heard they're already planning another season of it. But given the fact that they have so much trouble.
You know what's crazy? Every tournament-style format that they've ever had in boxing has always had issues. Remember the Super Six with all of the injuries and all the...
That was a terrible tournament.
That was a nightmare. Now,
horrible tournament.
You know, this whole tournament, too. Whole Super Series tournament now, the World Boxing Super Series, it's had its share of issues as well. So that's why a lot of promoters like Bob Arum doesn't want to deal with, you know, having to put fighters in a tournament like this, because you tie a guy up for a long period of time, and you know, there could be other deals that you know, come out of nowhere that can be formulated in the future that you may want to take, but you can't take them now because you're locked into a tournament. So boxing sometimes is all about right place, right time. And if you're locked up in a tournament, then that right place, right time could not be there for you. It could be taken away from you. It could be taken off the table. So,
quite honestly, though, if you're in this tournament, it was right place, right time, because a lot of champions were in this tournament. So you're guaranteed, if you win it, you're coming out with belts. And most likely,
yeah,
you're going to be a unified champion.
This cruiserweight tournament they have right now is kind of soft, right?
It is, but who else is out there? I mean, realistically, I mean, you know, Usyk's gone. I mean, who else is out there?
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do? I mean, these guys need to, you know, this is good for them, I think, to make a name for themselves and everything like that. Sean Newton says the World Boxing Super Series will come back at 115 next year. It'll be great if it happens. I mean, it'll be great. But like I said, they had a lot of issues this time around, and the fact that this is still going on for the cruiserweights, this should have ended last year, you know?
Yeah.
They had a lot. I think they had a hard time filling venues. They had a hard time finding venues. Unless you weren't Naoya Inoue, you weren't filling out stadiums, you know? So that's the long and short of it, man. This is real interesting. So Arthur Beterbiev, is the champion, right? And he's his mandatory challenger is Meng Fanlong. Steve, I've never heard of this guy. I don't know. The only thing I know is he's from China. Well, Chinese promoter Long Joy Sports bid on the fight and got the fight. So the fight is now headed to China, okay? So here was the speculation, is that they won the bid. Fight's now going to China. Arthur Beterbiev won't go there for religious purposes. He won't go there for religious reasons. So he'll have to forfeit the title. And so then this guy, Meng, is going to go. He'll fight for the title, and then he'll get it. So sounds good, right? Sounds good if you're Meng.
Sounds crazy.
Right. So the Chinese promoter, Long Joy Sports, on Thursday defaulted on its winning purse bid to gain promotional rights to the fight between unified light heavyweight world champion Arthur Beterbiev, and mandatory challenger Meng Fanlong, meaning Top Rank was the only other bidder in the auction, now will control the bout. The fight is now expected to take place in Quebec City on March 28th. Listen, I've heard of a lot of crazy things. I've never heard of them just defaulting after winning a bid. That's like going to an auction and saying, yeah, I'll buy that boat for 20 grand. Not having the 20 grand, knowing you don't have the 20 grand. You ever saw this? Have you ever seen anything like this?
Wasn't there a situation with the Pulev fight when Eddie Hearn was trying to bid on something for that? Or
I don't know. I remember for the Wilder fight, and somebody told me that I remember after the Wilder and Povetkin fight, And they were like, that fight's definitely going to Russia. I'm like, you're crazy. That fight, there's no way that fight comes and goes into Russia. Sure enough, man, that guy had some deep pockets, man. They said they wanted that fight in Russia. It went to Russia. They overpaid or whatever they did. And they ended up winning the bid. But I've never seen, like, anything like this where
– That's bizarre.
Yeah, yeah. China has prison camps for Muslims, so Beterbiev is boycotting. Yeah, wow. Yeah, because Beterbiev, I believe, is Muslim, maybe.
Yeah, I think he is.
But, wow, they have prison camps for Muslims over there. How about that? That's crazy.
I have a lot of respect for Beterbiev to do that.
He just said, yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, he's just standing up for his principles.
The hell with that, he said, right?
Right. Standing up for his principles, you know. Hey, you got to respect it. Got to respect it.
Shout out to Beterbiev, man.
And you know what? It paid off because now they defaulted on it. Now it's going to be in Canada. And I've never heard of this guy. Have you heard of this guy?
No, I haven't.
I've never heard of this guy at all.
Unfortunately, no, I have not.
Fanlong? Meng Fanlong?
Yeah.
I have no idea. Let's see here. SJM Singh 1 says, living is truth. Dagestani people have a long faith, have a strong faith for sure. Yeah, that's crazy, man. Yeah, but hey, you know what? Muslims, I tell you what, man, Khabib, I think Khabib is Muslim as well. And they do, man. He said he wouldn't come back to the UFC unless his people were reinstated. The guys he trains with, and he was dead serious, man. When they say something, man, I think they mean it.
Yeah.
They mean it, man. They're not playing around.
Very passionate people.
Yes, for sure. And
the whole truth of their beliefs, too.
Yeah. Well,
they're,
man,
they're unwavering. Unwavering.
And I guess if you're going to be a religious, you know, religious in any way, shape, or form, and that's the way to be. I mean, hey, if that's your beliefs, that's your beliefs. That's what you believe in.
I don't have a problem with it.
Nothing wrong with that, man. Nothing wrong with that at all. So good for him. And if I hold him true, it worked out. Worked out for him. So
did something the NBA players weren't strong enough to do.
Yeah, right.
Remember the situation they ran into the time?
What did he – yeah, what happened with that? Somebody made some kind of comment or something like that, or what was that? I can't remember that whole thing, but it was something like that.
They were critical of how the NBA was playing games in China after the stuff that China's done.
Yes, that was it. That was it.
And then someone spoke out about it, and they just said, like, big controversy or whatever.
Well, when you're a company, you know, like a company like the NBA, who's got a big market in China, could have a big, I mean, they got 1 billion people over there. So, you know, everybody's looking to break into that market, you know, and be a big, be mainstream over there. And
yeah,
all they're interested in, that money, man.
Yep.
You know, so, you know, they'll backtrack on it. So,
yep.
What are you going to do? All right, guys, that's pretty much it, man. That's the news. And like I said, next week, we'll be here at 12 noon Eastern time. You catch us on YouTube as well. But, yeah, we'll be here at 12 noon for the games, and then we'll go back to our regular time until the Super Bowl, which will be at 12 noon also. So that'll do it. So as always, you can catch Joe Khabib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. I'm at ringside73 on Twitter, and we will see you next week. All right. There's a wrap.
A wrap. No callers, huh?
No, just Robert.
Chat was pretty active.